All right, well, you know, we were talking about songs out of the chorus book that we like. How about let's go there and get a hold of the chorus book. We are climbing Jacob's Ladder, number 118. And we're going to do this. Each one of these song choruses is going to be like a rung on the ladder. We're going to go up higher and higher and higher. Meaning even in the key, all right, that the song's written in. Jason will just take us up to the next key, to the next one. What number did I say it was?
118.
You look at that. We are climbing to every realm. What's our sinner do you love? If you love him, why not rise and shine? You know what? We'll stay seated singing. But when we get to that last rung, I know we have that last chorus. Rise and shine, I want you to rise, okay? Now, whether you can shine, I don't know. Sing for us. We got two specials here today. Ralph's going to sing for us. Amen, Ralph.
If any of you would like to follow along as I sing, you're welcome to do so. It's number 94 in the chorus book.
traveled alone. Upon this lonesome way, my burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so till the end is Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gates, I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end is Jesus and me.
All right, Matthew chapter 12, the last few verses, and then we're going into chapter 13. I got a chart here, and Brother Dave, would you... Conklin, would you pass these around? I just have 15 of these, so like husband and wives and couples, just take one and get them around. Kind of make sure people in the back get one as well as the ones in the front. I only did 15, and it's this chart that you see up on the wall here, which I know is a busy chart and might be hard to see back there. That's why I moved it back, and it's a little bit off square on there in order to make it bigger. That's why I did that. And I do have a, as soon as I find it, a pointer which I stuck somewhere. All right, there it is, right here. I'll use this little red dot thing there, a laser pointer. I'll try not to shine it in your eyes, okay? But here we go, Matthew chapter 12, and we're down there at verse 46. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has spoken some things to an evil and adulterous generation that sought after a sign, and he gave them the only sign he was going to give them was the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, just like Jesus would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights and rise up again, conquer death, to provide salvation for all of us. Down at the end of verse 45, it says, "Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Now he's talking to his own people, the nation of Israel, when he said that. And that's going to then lead us into what we're going to get into in chapter 13. In verse 46, it says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him." Actually, in one of the other Gospels, it gives you another detail about it, that they thought he was getting a little bit mad. And I don't mean angry kind of mad, but maybe losing his mind. They thought he was kind of going off the deep end, and they wanted to rescue him from the people and the enemies that he was in the midst of talking to. And so they desired to speak with him. Verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I'd like to say of these verses, this is the king and his new relatives. The king and his new relatives, his earthly relatives, desire to protect Jesus from his own madness. And you can read that in Mark chapter 3, the other gospel, parallel passage. His earthly relatives desired to protect him from his madness, they thought. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, I want to just take you there. Just want to read this to you quickly. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 27, it happened at a time when he was speaking again to the people, verse 27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked, referring to Jesus' mother, Mary. And of course, you know the emphasis that is placed upon Mary in Roman Catholicism and Greek Orthodox Catholicism as well, or all the Orthodox Catholics, they all put an undue emphasis upon the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this woman was trying to do at the time of Jesus when he was here on this earth. And what did he say? Verse 28. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, there are some who would want to say the mother of Jesus is just as important as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that thou hast sucked. That would to put Mary above the Lord. The Lord responds right back, Oh, no, 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 no. Who are they that are blessed? They that hear the word of the Lord and keep it. Back here in our passage, again, Jesus, someone comes to Jesus while he's talking. Hey, you know, your mom and your brothers are out here and they want to talk to you. Could you just, you know, pull yourself away and give more importance to your mom and your brothers? He says, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? I mean, here would be the opportune time for Jesus to establish the doctrine of Mary being equal with him and co-redemption, co-redemptrix, and that you can get to me through my mother. I mean, he could have established all that doctrine right there with the people, but he didn't. Neither did he at the other place in Luke chapter 11. But as he stood there, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. Now, you know, the disciples were all men, but he was saying, I have new relatives. And my relatives are those, not my earthly relatives, but my spiritual relatives. Those who in their hearts have made a decision. And what is that? Verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. To be related to Christ, one must do God's will. If you want to be related to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible way, in a way that really matters for all eternity, then you need to do God's will. Go with me to John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. Chapter 6, and starting at verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord is speaking and he says this, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will. Is that what it says? Did I miss something?
Verse 29, I think so.
39. No, I'm saying, did I miss a word? Listen to the way I'm going to read verse 39. And this is the will which hath sent me. Did I miss something?
Yes.
What's missing?
Father.
Well, if you don't have a King James Bible, then it is missing out of your Bible. The word Father is taken out. Folks, hang on to your King James Bible, because the devil's trying to corrupt your Bible. Okay? Hang on to it. And this is the Father's will. I mean, the Lord just said, all that do my the God's will, they're my mother and my brethren. John now writes, this is the Father's will. What is the will of the Lord's Father, which he has sent me? That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. There you go. If you want to be related to Christ, you must do the Father's will. Jesus came to do the Father's will, and he tells us what the Father's will is. That everyone that believes in his Son, Jesus Christ, will have everlasting life and will be raised up at the last day. So, there you go. That's what you got to do. Now, he's just got done talking to the nation of Israel, and very specifically to the religious leaders of the nation of Israel, who had unbelieving hearts, who did not want to accept Jesus for who he was. And even just in the time that he was preaching, had said, show us a sign. Show us a sign that we will then believe you, you know. And he says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. By the way, that's still true today. And we have a generation today that wants to see signs and wonders and miracles. Some of these ministries out there today that delve into these types of things are some of your biggest sought after, people following after type of ministries that are going on. Signs, miracles, so-called healings and things like that going on. Boy, the people just rush to that kind of thing. You know what Jesus said about that? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Who are those related to me? Those who do my Father's will. That's who. What is the Father's will? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's the Father's will. That leads then into the next chapter. And chapter 13 of Matthew, folks, is a pivotal passage in this gospel. For chapter 13 is going to talk about the mysteries of the kingdom, spoken by the King himself, who at this juncture in the Gospel of Matthew has been rejected by Israel. And so now he's going to talk about those who are really related to him and what the future holds. And he's going to refer to it as the kingdom of heaven. It is a pivotal passage of scripture. I will also say it is also a very often misinterpreted passage of Scripture. For within the chapter 13, there are seven parables given, seven different parables which have often been misinterpreted to teach that the church is going to someday evangelize the whole world and bring in the kingdom all by itself. And that is not true. The church is not going to do that. But the church is in the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that the Lord's going to talk about in this passage. It's in it, but it is not wholly just the kingdom of heaven. It just happens to be part of it. The kingdom of heaven takes in a lot bigger group and a longer time than just the church age itself. The church age needs to be kept separate from what God is doing with Israel. But it is definitely inside, time-wise, the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to start out here that his relationship is not only with Israel, but with whosoever does God's will. And now he's going to begin to talk about not only Israel being involved in the kingdom of heaven, but the whole world being involved in it. Not necessarily that I'm not saying the whole world's saved, but the whole world is being influenced by this kingdom of heaven, which the church does take up a small part of it. Now, the parable of the sower is what we're going to read. I'm not going to explain the actual parable of the sower today. I'm going to probably do that the next time. Because there's something else that the Lord brings out here that I want to deal with, which I gave you the handouts for and what I have up on the wall here now. I want to talk about that, and then we will do the interpretation of the parable of the sower and the other parables as well in this chapter, of which there are seven. And a parable, by the way, a parable is a story or an illustration laid down alongside of a biblical truth. And it just helps explain a biblical truth that the Lord wants to get across. Now, chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying. Okay. There is a dispensational background all on its own right there in the location, the situation that Jesus is in. He left the house. It says the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. I believe that would be a picture of Israel's rejection of Jesus. And he leaves the house of Israel and he goes out to the seaside, where he will talk to whoever gathers in front of him. A great multitude, which I believe is a type of the nations, the Gentile nations. And it says great multitudes gathered to hear him. I'm going to say that great multitudes, it could very well represent what we refer to as Christendom today. Christendom today. I mean, he's talking to all these people. In a way, he's stopped and said to Israel, look, you don't want me. You're rejecting me. All right. I'm going to talk to everybody now then. And now the message is going to go out to everybody who will listen. And as of today, I believe this would represent all who are in this influence of Christendom, as we might call it today. It includes the church, but it is not the church. Right? The kingdom of heaven is not the church, although it includes the church. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of people who name the name of Christ and say they're Christian. But because of what they believe and the doctrines they hold to and the lives that they live, which just goes against their profession that they're a Christian, even though they say they follow Christ, I don't want to be a part of that. But it is there, nonetheless. It is there. There's a big, huge thing called the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, of which hold good and bad, right and wrong, good doctrine, bad doctrine. We're going to see that in the parable of the leaven that the woman puts into the meal. Most of Christianity today is not what it should be. Let me just say that. It's not what it should be. There is so much confusion, and people walk around saying, well, I don't know what to believe. There's so many groups, and some believe this, some believe that, and everything else. It's just a confused, mangled up mess. But you know what? The truth is still the truth. And it will come out. And it will save your soul. It'll change your life. And make it to be like Christ here on this earth while you live. So, in chapter 13, verse 3, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, but because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Does that almost sound like what happens today? You know, when you pass the word around, you try to witness, tell people about the Lord. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears? Let him hear. Did I read that right? Who hath ears? Let him hear. You mean that's not right? Well, New Modern Versions say it that way. Mine says, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Who hath ears? Let him hear. Okay. Yeah, but you know what? Everybody has ears. But do you have ears to hear? Now, why does the Lord say that? I believe he puts that out there because he's about to say some things that only those who have ears to hear are going to grab a hold of. Others who have ears, they're not going to grab a hold of it, what he's about to say next. So leave those two words in there. He that hath ears, who hath ears to hear? I mean, to really hear. I believe that's what the Lord's saying there, and that's why he put those two words in there. He that hath ears, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Almost sounds like redundant. Well, it's too many things in there. That's why they did a lot of things like that in the corrupt new versions. They thought this way. Well, you know, if it's already said, doesn't need to be said again. A redundancy needs to be taken out. Oh, no. No, no. How about when the Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Well, that's two verilies. We don't need two verilies. That's too much. I don't think the Lord really meant ever to say verily, verily. Oh, yes, he did. Because he wanted to put an emphasis upon about what he was just about to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I've often told you this. A lot of times, if my mom wanted my attention, she'd say, Gary. But if she really wanted my attention, she'd say, Gary! You know? Lord's saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, which is what he is about to say here. Now, I know I pulled that verse out of John, but that's what he's saying here. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Did you come here this morning with your ears attached? I'm sure you did. I see a lot of ears. All kinds of different looking ears here this morning, that's for sure. But do you have ears to hear? Are you willing to listen and hear what the Lord's about to say? Israel's already said, no, we're not going to listen to that. Well, we don't even believe that a whale swallowed a man. What kind of a sign is that you give us? Show us some great miracle. I mean, put your hands up there and do something great. No, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. You don't believe that? Too bad. You don't have ears to hear. And Israel has said up to this point, we do not accept this man. And of course, by the time we're done with this gospel, they're going to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But that doesn't end his ministry. Oh, no. It's going to go far and wide. All right, I'm leaving the house. I'm going out to, let's get out here to the seashore. Hey, disciples, and I don't know who, but let me get in one of the ships. Pull away from the shore a little bit. Let me stand in the ship here and I'll preach to the multitudes on the shore. His message is now going out far and wide. See, it's not just the house, it's going out. And the parables are not chronologically ordered here. Matthew arranges them here in order to instruct concerning the kingdom. Luke has them in another order as he would teach the Gentiles. So Matthew has these, unlike any other gospel has them listed. You can look at the other gospels. You'll not see all these parables the same way in all the other gospels. See, there's four gospels, right? Because God wants you to see Jesus in four different perspectives. In the Gospel of Matthew, he wants you to see him as the rightful king over Israel, and quite frankly, king of kings and lord of lords over the whole earth. But they, of course, have rejected him right now. But that doesn't mean the influence of his teaching isn't going to continue on, and it's going to. Verse 10. So I'll go over that parable later, okay? But verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Whoa. Wait a minute, Lord. What do you mean? Why do you talk like that? Because you see, some people have ears located on both sides of their head, but they're not using them. They're not taking this in. They haven't listened to me. Israel hasn't listened to me up to this point. And I've proved to them by the miracles that I did do. And they want more. I just give them one. Prophet Jonah. They're an evil and adulterous generation. But you, disciples, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Wow, interesting word, mysteries. This is something that was previously unknown. And he's about to reveal it to them through parables and the teachings that he would give to them. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Isn't that an interesting statement? The mystery of the kingdom of heaven is given to believers only, or to those who have ears to hear. These mysteries of the kingdom. Unbelievers have even what they have taken away from them. You know, a mere form of Christianity is not having the real thing. You need more than just an outward form of Christianity. And what is that like? That's like people who think that because they are a member of a church that has the name of Jesus on it somewhere, that they're okay. Or that because their parents had them baptized as a baby, they're okay. Because, well, isn't baptism in the Bible? Yes, but not baptism of babies. Let me make that real clear, okay? There's no such thing as baptizing babies and somehow making them safe for heaven if they should die in infancy or as a little child. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere! All right? Is that clear? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's not in the Bible. Well, I've been a member of such and such church all my life. You know what that means as far as getting to heaven? Zero. That means zero. Z-E-R-O in English. Nothing. Well, why do you have a church? Well, we don't have a church here just to get members in and people putting their names down on our list so that they can get to heaven. That'll never do. Never do. Well, I'm not as bad as some other people that I know. You know, people do that. They start comparing themselves among themselves. That's wrong. Because you're comparing sinners to sinners. You know what you should do? Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him up there. How do you stand with him? Well, he's a holy son of God. Yeah, how are you? Oh boy. I'm in big trouble. You sure are. See, mere form of Christianity does not do what needs to be done. In fact, if you simply have a mere form of Christianity, all that understanding and what you think you have is going to be taken away from you. Even that which you think you have and which might be worth something when you stand, you know, all the jokes. Well, you know, there's St. Peter up at the pearly gate. When I get there, I'm going to tell him this or that. Ha, ha, ha. That's not the way it is. You better be fully already worthy, or you're not getting in no matter who's at that pearly gate. And how do you get worthy to go into heaven? When you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's not just an outward form of Christianity. That's real Christianity. That's real salvation. When you've acknowledged your sinful, unworthy condition and you trust in the only one who can make you worthy, that's my Savior, Jesus Christ. You got ears to hear? You listening? Or are you just kind of letting it, there it goes. Are you done yet, preacher? I'm ready to get out of here. Yeah, you don't have ears to hear then. You got ears to hear. You grab a hold of this. Because a mere form of Christianity and going through the processions and the traditions of Christianity does not save. The cross and what happened there and the bloodshed and your own confession of what you are, a sinner for whom he came and died. That's where salvation really is. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. You know, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Do you know something? Every day you learn more about what he has done for you. And it becomes more precious to you all the time. And those who have ears to hear like that, he just keeps giving you more. Keeps giving you more understanding of things. But if you're just an outward Christian in form only, and you don't have the reality of the life-changing, life-saving work of Christ in your heart, even what you think you have is going to be taken away. And you will spend eternity in hell along with all those who've rejected even your outward form of Christianity. You'll be with them in hell. Wow. Well, I don't think I'm going to go there. I can see some of those, you know, those other religions. They'll all end up there. Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people who live their whole lives with an outward form of Christianity in hell. In hell. Wow. So the Lord says, I'm going to let you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, I know it says Esaias, but it's Isaiah of the Old Testament, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, keep the religious leaders of Israel in your mind here as the ones who represent what he's saying here. All those leaders who should be leading Israel to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. I mean, it's obvious this man is our Messiah. It should have been to them. They saw, they heard. There should have been no doubt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They should have all, and the chief priests, they should have all said to the people, and the scribes. I keep throwing next one in there, right? They should have all said to the children of Israel, let's go down to the seaside and let us as a nation bow down and worship our Messiah and Son of David. That's what the response should have been. But it wasn't. And yet they saw with their eyes. They saw the blind man made whole. They saw that. But they didn't see. They heard the marvelous message. In fact, they said, he speaks as no other man speaks. He speaks with authority. Unlike our scribes, who don't really speak with any authority. They just tell us what we got to do, what we can't do, and all the traditions and everything that they've added to the Word of God. Wow. Is it possible you could actually be sitting right in the middle of the kingdom of heaven and hearing all the beauties of it, and it's just going in one ear and out the other? It's going in one eye and out the other eye. Your mind hears it, but you're not understanding it. Oh boy. Don't get that far away from the truth. Isn't this something you could actually be right in the midst of this mystery of the kingdom of heaven? But you could be so far away. You could have maybe relatives telling you how you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see their own witness of their changed life. Like Jason's song there, the drunkard sitting in the back seat of the church. And the parent, the mother and the kids and the whole church praying that he'd get right with God. And then the preacher preaches the gospel and he raises his hand. And everybody in church is witness to his raising of the hand. Boy, you could be that close and still not understand it and receive it for yourself. That's what the Lord's saying here. Isaiah talked about a time like that. And folks, I know it's almost noon, so I've got to stop. But at least you got the chart in your hand and you saw the great PowerPoint program, which I didn't even get to. I kind of thought it would happen this way as I was trying to put some thoughts down in my outline. I'd throw that in there and throw that in there. And you know what I said to myself this morning? I'm never going to get done with that. And it happened. But I would like to say, might you be here today? And now you do have ears to hear. You say, you know what? There is more to this than just an outward form. Just going to a church, sitting in a service, putting up with a message. That somehow that kind of puts a point there on my side, a brownie point with the Lord. It doesn't. You need Christ, saving your lost soul. When did you do that? If you've never done that, and you've just been playing around with Christianity, putting on the form and the traditions and, you know, going as far as you want to go, and that's enough kind of a thing, you need Jesus Christ to be your Savior of your lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving soul. That's what you need. Let Him in. Let Him save you. Today. Right now. Right where you're sitting. If you're listening to me on the internet, right where you're sitting and listening. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now. Oh, what shall I say? Give me a prayer. No prayer. You just in your heart trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't want you hanging on the hopes of that you said the right words in a prayer. You right now in the quietness of your heart, as best you know how, admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation. Right now, do that. Well, don't I have to say it a certain way? No, none. I don't know of any certain way. You just do it out of the quietness of your heart. The best you know how. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Are you sitting in a chair? You're trusting that chair to hold you up. You need to trust Jesus Christ to save your lost soul. Amen. Do it today. That means you've got ears to hear. There's more that Jesus wants to say here, and I'm sorry I can't keep you here all day. And we just keep on going through this. Because, and didn't I say in Sunday school to those of you, John chapter 16. Look at that, John 16, and then I'll let you out of here. John 16, verse 12. I promised the Sunday school students this morning I would use this verse, and I think it's fitting right now. John chapter 16, verse 12. Notice if you had a red letter edition, it's in red. Jesus is speaking. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. A lot of preachers are like that. And he says, yeah, I know. You're going way past the time. I know. I have many things to say unto you. But this is Jesus talking. But you cannot bear them now. I know because of the hour late. The hour is late. You can't bear them now. But you know what? If you read down there, there's somebody else who will teach you all that you need to know. And it is not Pastor Freeman. It's not any other preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God who will teach you if you have ears to hear. You've got to have that. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear, the Lord says. Let him hear. He wants you to understand. Even though the word mystery is there, don't go away. Well, that's a mysterious thing. No, he wants you to know it. It's no longer a mystery after the Lord reveals it. It's no longer. It was up till then, but it's not after. And we're going to see some things how that it was a mystery before. Oh, I know. Now it's a minute after 12. But do you know the prophets in the Old Testament time often could see some of these things? But they would say, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? And I'll give you some verses next week. Next week. That you'll see that, wow. You've been given the opportunity to see some things that they couldn't understand, even though they were writing them down, talking about them, they couldn't quite understand them. But you're given the opportunity to grab a hold of them. Whoa, look at that. Isn't that a marvelous thing? All right, I'm done. Okay, you need to get saved? Do it right now. That's the invitation. And if you need help, ask someone right next to you, or come to me or my wife. We'll be glad to sit down with you and help you do this trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'd love to do that. Maybe you're afraid to walk down the aisle when we give invitations like that. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to say do it right where you're at. And then let us know. And if you need help on it, we'll just help you with that. For one thing's for sure, if you do that, it'll soon show. It'll soon show. Because the work of God in the life of a sinner is a great work. it will reveal itself. Dear God, thank you for the endurance of these people. And I pray that the ears will have been listening ears today. No mere form of Christianity will do. You need Christ inside through faith in him as Savior. May people do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.